Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big on your landscape project at Menards. Whether you're shopping for edgers, pavers, or wall blocks, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a beautiful border for your landscape with our interlock edgers on sale now through March 22nd. Save big on landscape block at Menards. Also, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Zayn Malik made a huge decision regarding his tour following the passing of his former bandmate, Liam Payne. I mean, this story has really just gripped my generation, people who have been fans of One Direction for years. I've seen nothing but just people expressing their experiences with Liam over the past couple of days on social media. And Zayn Malik is taking this really hard, A, of course, because he was a friend that he had, you know, in these formative years. He's a bandmate, former colleague, if you will. And now he's saying that he is postponing some of his U.S. tour dates because of the heartbreaking loss that he's experienced with Liam Payne. He posted on Instagram on Saturday to share the news. He, of course, shared a post that I'm sure you guys have already talked about, sharing his experience and how he's taking this loss. But now he's saying that he is postponing his U.S. tour dates because, quote, given the heartbreaking loss experienced this week, I made the decision to postpone the U.S. leg of the Stairway to the Sky tour. The dates are being rescheduled for January, and I'll post them as soon as it's all set in the next few days. Your tickets will remain valid for the new dates. Love you all. And thank you for understanding.
Yeah, that's not something you can fake your way through.
No.
Especially with the name of the tour. How ironic is that?
I want to say kismet, but kismet is the wrong word. Like, it's serendipitous in the worst way.
Yeah. I think the thing that just broke my heart this past weekend was watching Liam's dad go to that hotel in Argentina and walk through Liam Payne's dad went to Argentina. What I'm assuming is to, you know, accompany his son's body home. Mm-hmm. And he was walking through the fans, like their tributes and the memorial they made from Liam. And he was just walking through and he was reading everything they had written and looking at the photos and looking at the pictures they have drawn and, you know, all of the kind words that they had about his son. And just watching the dad, Liam's dad, walk through all that was just like, oh, it was heart-wrenching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's absolutely terrible. But I think it's so good that he's doing it beforehand, before thinking, you know, I could just push through it. And then the tour comes up and then all of a sudden, you know, you're out there the day before and you realize you have all these memories of being on stage with someone that you've just lost and realizing that it's going to be a lot harder to fake it than you thought. So I think it's really good for him and his team to recognize that immediately and early on and make the decision so that it doesn't come up like the week before and that he just canceled out of nowhere. We've been talking about celebrities and humanizing them and, you know, discussing whether or not, like, when do you be grateful and when do you humanize them? And Chris Pratt spoke about this at New York Comic Con when he was talking about his new film. He says that he really doesn't have any patience for celebrities with bad attitudes. He says when he's on set, there's, quote, there's no room for blank attitudes there, crappy attitudes there. You can't have a bad attitude in movie making. It ruins everything for everyone. And then you don't last long. So when you show up on set, there's no reason why you should. Like, oh, you're having a hard time living your dream? Is that tough for you today? Like, come on and pull your head out.
I think that's why I was so upset you missed this last week because you were in England. But the woman that was complaining about her Wicked poster, and she was saying it was like the worst thing that's ever happened to her because they altered the poster.
Oh, yeah, Cynthia Erivo?
Yeah, it was just such a blatant overreaction. And I said to these guys at the time in a very annoyed way, like, hang out with some people that really have problems.
And funnily enough, bro, like, I disagree because, as you know, she's a black woman in the entertainment industry and has been ignored and overlooked for so long. I think it just came from a much deeper place than just having like her picture altered. But I do agree with Chris Pratt as far as like, I mean, imagine we too, I think, could say that very lucky to get, you know, that we get to do what we get to do. It's such a freaking cool job that we get to come in here and hang out and crack jokes. And yeah, we talk about serious stuff from time to time, but we got a really cool job. And if we came in here every day with a crappy attitude, yeah, I mean, I would have the same exact thing. Like, you need to go find something else to do. Right. So like being on set and being at work, yeah, you gotta put your big actor panties on and you know, be kind to people. And then, you know, then I think there is that time when you're outside, like off the set, and you're just trying to live your daily life. I do think you are entitled to have some peace.
Sure, there are some frustrations, but I mean, at the end of the day, we got paid last week to do cat karaoke.
Okay. When I saw the clip on social media, people, it's funny, like half my DMs last week were, "What's going on? Have you met the guy yet?" And the other half were, "I can't believe they did cat karaoke without you." So we will be doing it at some point.
1,000% we're doing it again this week.
All right, the series creator of Nobody Wants This is getting rid of one of the storylines in season 2. I'm going to tell you which one and why they've decided to cut it on your next eBuzz.
The Bert Show.
Here's how this works. All right, and if it works with us here, then I'll start doing it with listeners in following days, okay?
Okay.
So this is how Lose Bert's Money works. I am going to give you guys a question, right? For every question, each time you get it wrong, I've got $100 right here, by the way. All right, it's right here in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
It goes down by $10 with every incorrect guess.
Okay.
And whoever gets it ends up with the money that's still left over.
And you guys played this without me last week?
We did. We needed a couple extra minutes for bonus content. And that was a good time to start it, okay? All right, so you guys ready?
Yes.
For the first official round of Lose Bert's Money. All right, here's your question, and there's $100 in front of you.
Be smart about your questions.
I'm paying attention, Miss Al. All right.
Tell how you mess this one up.
What was guessed?
I said clergy.
Yes, she said clergy, and then two more.
And I said warm. I said you're close.
And I guess lawyer. In my defense.
There is no defense.
It was Friday. It was late. I was fading away.
We've heard of the Lincoln lawyer, but not the clergy lawyer.
I was fading away. All right? I'm paying attention to stuff.
All right. So we'll just go from left to right here. I got $100. If you guys get it right, whoever gets it gets the cash. I'll Venmo you today. And again, I'm only using these guys as the test experiment. And if it works here, we'll use it on you guys over the next couple of days listening.
It was actually fun.
Oh, okay.
It was actually, Bert actually brought something to the table.
Wow.
I know. Right?
I knew you'd love that, actually, throw it in there.
It's way more fun than talking about guns.
Yes.
All right, here you go. Here is your question. Kristen?
Yes.
More than 60% of parents of young children have this in common. What is it for $100? If you miss it, we take 10 off the top.
60% of kids' parents have this in common.
Young children. Have this in common. What is it?
Catching colds.
You're down to 90.
Okay.
Cassie.
They have kids.
60%.
60%. Yes, at least 60% have kids.
Okay, you're down to 80. don't try to out Emory
us.
Y'all better give her the same energy.
Fine, I'll give you a real answer. Sleep deprivation.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Good answer.
Good answer.
80.
They're married.
Oh, that's a good one.
Good answer.
You just stole mine.
Good answer.
Wait, now I have to think of a new one. That was my answer.
Wait, so we're down
to 10. I haven't even said wrong.
They're divorced. They're divorced.
I haven't said wrong. Yeah.
Whoa. Oh.
She's still on London time. Yeah. Forgive her.
Give me a break.
Happens to everybody. 70. We're down to 70.
Okay.
All right, again, more than 60% of parents of young children have this in common. What is it?
Are you going to use your answer?
No, because I just found out that it's wrong.
No, that was Mo's
answer.
Oh,
wait. That was wrong.
Baby.
Isn't it the same one? If they're married or if they're divorced? Okay, they're divorced.
What? 60. I should take it.
I just want this game to be over.
I should take it down to 10 after that answer.
Oh,
all right, repeat the question, please.
More than 60% of parents of young children, I think that's important.
Yeah,
young.
It is.
I'm going to stress young.
Okay.
Have this in common. What is it?
young children.
There's so many things it could be.
Really? Well, I'm out.
Yeah, four of them. It can't be four.
Of young children. Man, I was really banking on the sickness. I'm going to say an injury due to falling on a toy.
50. We're down to $50. Go, Kat.
They drive minivans, Bob.
Ooh.
That's 40. Oh. 40.
Can I phone Cassie?
Sure, why not? Okay.
Because you said there's plenty and I'm out.
Sure.
They have messy houses.
30.
Oh.
60% of parents of young children have this in common.
They have... I don't want to sound stupid.
Cassie says she's got plenty in the pocket if you want to give it to her.
Can I phone Cassie? Cassie, ring, ring.
They still have their baby's pacifiers.
20. Cassie's just...
What? I'm striking out, so y'all might not want to phone me anymore.
They co-sleep?
10.
Ooh, that was a good guess.
That was a good one.
They've all been really good guesses, just not the right one.
So now we're down to $10.
$10, and then it's out.
$10, make you holla.
Then we're playing you Obert.
We should go the other way.
Last guess. Just say the question one more time.
Yeah, that's going to do it.
More than 60% of parents of young children have this in common.
What is it? They don't want another one. They're over it.
You guys are out.
Dang it!
Zero. The answer was they have hidden in the bathroom to get away from kids.
I like our answers better.
They still find you.
Yeah, I was like, that don't work.
They always find you. All right, so we'll do Lose Bert's Money, and we'll do it with listeners tomorrow.
I love it.
The Bert Show.
I don't know what the definition of success is when you shoot your shot in a way that Abby has done that she'll explain here in just a couple of seconds. But even before knowing the outcome, I think you've already won. Quite honestly, just by going and just by taking the risk that most people would never, ever take, the results of the actual date, I don't want to say are inconsequential, they're consequential, but just the fact that you went and took that risk, I got a lot of respect for you, man.
Really? Well, thank you. That means a lot to me. And I think that's what I was trying to define before I even booked the plane ticket, because I think it would have been so much pressure to be like, this is only going to be a success if it ends in some kind of positive romantic outcome. And I think I was really trying to set myself up for success. I'm like, okay, what else can I get out of this weekend? Like, if I'm going to go and all of a sudden I show up on Thursday and he cancels, like, how is this going to be something successful for me? And so I was trying to define those priorities before I went, so that when I went there and was a ball of nerves, I could just let go and let the weekend happen.
So let's say we have a brand new listener listening for the first time today. Can you even do a quick, like, 60-second recap getting into the weekend?
Yeah. So about 2 months ago, I went on a girls' trip to Dublin, spent a couple of days in London, and just had literally the most magical week of my life. It just felt like everything fell into place. And my last name is Murphy, so I follow Murphy's Law. Like, what can go wrong is going to go wrong, and probably even worse. And so when I had this week where it just felt like there was magic in the air, I felt like life had possibilities for the first time in a while that I just didn't want to leave. And a lot of that had to do with the way this day in London kind of played out. I showed up in London, had a sorority sister cancel on me. We were supposed to get drinks and dinner somewhere. And all of a sudden, I'm in this foreign city, in this foreign country by myself. And I tried to set up the week so it didn't go that way. So I'm freaking out on Hinge, trying to find somebody to hang out with that night so I'm not alone in London. I meet this guy, and it just ended up being like this whirlwind romance for the night that I couldn't stop thinking about. And I just felt like I didn't have closure on it. So I decided to go back.
Unbelievable.
So okay. This
love it so much.
It really is.
Yeah. I think. And did he know right from the start that the only reason why you were going was to hang out with him, or was there some other?
No, okay. I was not. Can you imagine the pressure that would have put on that situation? And I kind of tried to play it off on social media as if I was there for what I was really there for. I mean, this is technically my work. So I was technically there for work, but I also set up things that would make me feel as if this was a normal day in my life. So I was like, what would I be doing on a normal Thursday? I'd be interviewing somebody for my podcast. I would be working out. So I tried to be a little active on Thursday and walk around. I set up a podcast interview in London. And then I felt like that was going to set me up to feel like this was a normal day where I was just going to meet a guy for a second date. It just so happens that it's in a foreign country and I had to hop on a flight to get there.
Listen, okay. Listen, you can try to downplay this all you want, but we are not.
I'm trying to keep some dignity here. Like, we can all recognize that it was a little bit like cannonballing into crazy.
He's also going to feel a whole bunch more comfortable if he knows that you're going to be there anyway and he's just a accessory. It's an added thing to your schedule rather than it being the nucleus of your schedule.
That's like way too much. Can you imagine? Yeah. Like, thank God. I don't think he's heard any of these segments. So thank God we've kept it that way. Anyway, so I show up in London on Thursday and I think I'm just as nervous to tell the story as I was the day of the date. Like, I have not been that anxious in a long time. I mean, this is like really just stepping out on a limb here. Like, I'm in a foreign country. I'm about to meet this guy for a second date. Already something I don't typically do because most guys I go out with don't make it to the second date. So I am just freaking out. It's Thursday. I finish up my podcast interview, which, by the way, went really well. And we start texting and he said, okay, I'm in Mayfair, which is this, you know, nice neighborhood in London. You're in XYZ part of the city. Meet me there. And so he says he's already at the pub and I'm 30 minutes away. So I have no time. I got to book it there. So I am running across the city. I'm getting on the tube and I'm so nervous that I'm like, there's no way I can do this without like some inebriation. Like, I need a beer. I need a shot. I need something. So
how long did you prepare? Like, picking out the perfect outfit and pre-gaming for this whole thing before you even left?
Oh, I got my hair done. I went to Dry Bar. They did amazing. Yeah, I had my hair did. I picked out the outfit, which, I used an iron for the first time to iron a white button down because I knew we were going to do like happy hour. And I was like, I want to blend in. I want to like look like I work in London. So, I mean, yeah, there was definitely some preparation for it. So, you know, I'm running across town and I get to Mayfair. And if you've ever been to London, you know, there's like pubs on every corner. Like, you can't walk a mile without seeing at least 15 different bars. And I found the one stretch of London that was all like department stores. Could not find a single bar. And so I'm probably 2 minutes away from the pub and I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna go sober. And then I see the pub where he's meeting me, and this is where my first mistake for the date comes in. Is there's a couple of pubs there. And I'm like, okay, the pub he wants to go to is on the far right. I'm going to go to the pub on the far left, take a shot, roll up confident and like a little bit inebriated. So I roll up to the pub. I'm feeling all confident. I'm in my heels. So it's like clack, clack, clack on the cobblestones. I walk in, hair's blowing from the blowout. I belly up to the bar. I look at the bartender. I'm like, I need a shot of Jameson. And he's like, you got it, random girl. So he gives me the shot of Jameson. I feel like such a baddie. I'm like, I take the shot. I slam it on the pub bar. And I'm just kind of having this moment where I'm like, I am who I wanted to be when I grew up. Like, I am the rich, hot aunt with a lover in London right now.
I am that girl.
And that goes away in about 2 seconds because then that Jameson wants to come right back up because I'm so nervous my body can't process it.
Starting to feel it in your jowls?
Starting to feel it in my jowls a little bit, but I'm like, I can't keep this guy waiting any longer. It's been like 45 minutes, whatever. So I step outside, I get my bearings, I look at my phone, I'm looking at all the pubs, and he's saying, okay, I need to meet you at the Mason Arms. That's the name of the pub. And so I'm like, okay, which one was I just at? So I know where to go. And I look up and there it says, the Mason Arms. Oh, God. And I realize,
was he watching you do the show?
So I go, oh God. What did I just do? So I stand there and I'm waiting for the Jameson to hit and it's not processing. It's just sitting in my gut bubbling. It is not going into my bloodstream. So I'm still sober and now a little nauseous. But I take a deep breath and I walk back in and I start scanning the crowd because I didn't see him when I walked in. I'm like looking around And there he is in direct eye shot of the bar, oh, sitting in a corner booth looking at me. And I go, hi! And now I'm even more nervous because now I feel like I'm going to throw up. Now I haven't had time to like mentally prepare. I feel like I just had to like run back in and like make this happen. So he's sitting there. He's got a beer for him and a beer for me. And I sit down and I just start rambling. And to my surprise, he's just as excited to see me. He is sitting there and he is in a great mood. He's like, how is everything? What brings you here? And he's giving me a little hard time. He's like, oh yeah, like you're back in London for the, yeah. And so I'm like, now I'm a little anxious. I'm like, he can't know that I'm here for a date for him. And we just fall into this really great stride that, if I'm being honest, the last date we didn't totally have. It was a first date, so it's a little stiff and we were having a good time. But this time, like we're going back and forth and we're asking about each other's families. And, you know, learning about each other. I'm like, this is going really, really well.
It's a proper date.
It's a proper date.
Yes.
So then we start bopping to a bunch of other bars. And he's like, have you eaten today? Like, I need to make sure I feed you. I'm like, oh, you're going to feed me? Okay. Oh, so we're holding hands. Okay. And he's escorting.
You're holding hands?
We're holding hands.
I thought you were going to say, what? He fed you?
No.
He
fed you. Yeah, fries. So I'm trying to like make sure I don't skip over anything. So let me look at my notes real quick. But okay. So yeah.
Hold for just one second.
Okay.
All right. Let's all enjoy this. Where does he hold your hand at? Are you still in the bar? Are you walking out of the bar to the next place? And how are you feeling when he reaches down for your hand?
Oh, okay. So we're leaving the pub. He like grabs my lower back, kind of escorts me outside of the pub.
This guy.
This gentleman right here.
That big bear paw, because he's like, what, 6'1"?
Yeah, he's 6'6", ex-rugby player.
Yeah!
And my shirt was kind of coming out of, maybe this is a little bit too much for this up there. My shirt was kind of coming out of my pants and he like tucks it back in for me. And then like we leave the pub, he grabs my hand, he starts tugging me towards the next place. He's like, have you eaten today? Like, this was so funny. He goes, I have a coupon for Wingstop if you want to go. And I'm like, I'm not going to Wingstop in London, England, the heck? So he takes me to another, this is classic. I'm like, of course they're going to do the same thing everywhere. Guys in Atlanta take me to Wingstop. This guy's going to take me to Wingstop. So he takes me to another pub and we're talking and he gets me some fries because I'm like, I realize I haven't eaten all day. He's like, I need to feed you. So we get some food, we get some more drinks, and I'm talking to him about, you know, how his parents met. And he said, my mom was a model and my dad saw her and that was it. And I was like, oh, that's such a cool story. And then I tell him how my parents met. And then I notice he's wearing a really fancy watch and my dad's really big into watches. And so I'm like, oh, tell me about your watch. And he's telling me he's really into watches too. And so I'm telling him what my dad has told me about watches. And I said, let's text my dad. Let's see what my dad's opinion is on your watch. So now it's me, my dad, and this guy texting. And
oh my God, this is so cute. I can't handle it.
And I'm sending my dad a picture of the watch. I was like, you can see the skeleton and my dad's really big into watch skeletons. Look, this is a skeleton watch. Like, you've got to be into this. And it's just...
Do your parents know what's on the line at this point also? Does your dad know?
Everybody knows. Okay. Everybody knows what's happening.
Her dad knows he's talking to his future son-in-law. It's cute.
So we're talking about our watch. I'm like, this is going really, really well. And then he goes, I want to take you to one more place. He goes, I want to take you to where we met. And...
I hate to do this, and I'm not being that guy. We're just out of time right here. So save it, and when we come back, we'll hear about the second part of the date.
This is not where I wanted to end it, but okay.
Oh yeah. My God,
only because we got to go to commercials, and then they come down on us if we don't hit them in the right time.
Okay.
So hold on to it. When we come back, Abby will tell us about the second part of this date in England.
Oh!
I hate our show also right now.
I feel like this has to be a three-parter at this point.
Okay.
There's a twist.
Okay.
This is not what... Yeah.
All right.
Okay. We'll do it again. Not okay.
She's not okay. None of us are okay. It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
All right, Abby, I can't tell if you're going to love this or this is going to scare you to death.
What?
So Liberty Schultz is in studio right now, and she has not only dated one, not only dated two, but she's trying to date 50 different strangers in Atlanta. Okay.
My worst nightmare.
It is. Hey, Liberty.
Hi, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. All right, so tell us how this whole thing started. Now, you're not at 50 yet, but you're dang close.
Yeah, not quite at 50. I'm on 40 right now.
Okay.
I started on this journey over a year ago, and I was fed up with dating culture, honestly. I thought dating was boring. I was tired of going to get drinks and going bowling, and I was fed up. Also, I had gotten out of a tough situationship, so I felt like people didn't really want to date, and I lost hope that there were good guys out there. And so I kind of started on this journey to find good guys and to make dating fun again.
So where did this start? Did it start on the dating apps? Did it start on just asking dudes out and why the number 50?
Yeah, so it started because it started pretty much finding people out of mutual friends. So I sent out a Google form to my friends with tons of questions because my friends were always like, hey, I have this great guy to set you up with. And I was like, we'll do it. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of started with the Google form. Some people through dating apps, and then some people just through Instagram or meeting them out in the wild, like at pickup soccer games, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I've met people for sure.
All right. And you specifically were just going to do this in Atlanta?
So specifically in Atlanta, because I really am trying to date. I'm really trying to meet people. And it's been obviously I want to date someone in Atlanta because I live in Atlanta.
Right.
I have done a couple dates like in New York, in Chicago, in Nashville, just because I was visiting those places and I thought it'd be kind of fun, a good way to see the city.
All right. So what have you learned thus far in the 40 dates you've gone on out of the 50?
So much. I feel like I've just been learning stuff all year. I've definitely learned that there's good guys out there. There's guys that actually want to date and actually respect you and want to go out and want to get to know you.
So I've seen your videos on social media. No, and I think it's because I saw you on a date with a guy. I was like, wait, he's really cute. Wait, she lives in Atlanta? And I was like, should I DM him DM her for his contact information? But one thing that I've struggled with since moving to Atlanta a year and a half ago and joining this show is some guys I feel like have pulled out of dates because they find out what I do for a living and they want nothing to do with the publicity. But you document your dates on social media and on TikTok. So how do you go about, like, are they nervous about being filmed? Has that been a struggle getting guys to go out with you because they want nothing to do with the publicity?
Good question. For sure. First of all, we have to set you up with that guy. Let me know. DM me.
I think he was like a little bit too young for me, but I was like, he's cute.
Well, we can plug you one day. But yeah, a lot of these guys really are into the adventurous side of things and they're kind of into being filmed. They're kind of into it. And so it hasn't really been that big of a problem. I always check with people and make sure that they are okay being filmed and everything beforehand too.
So in your first 40, did anybody stand out? Did you feel like it was worth it so far?
Or did you want to you met a guy at number 12 and you're like, I'm not doing 50.
Right. 12 is fantastic.
Most definitely. I mean, it is real dating. And there's been times during the series where I've kind of paused and held off on the videos and continued dating people. So there's been second, third, five dates with some of these guys. And so I've definitely explored it with those people. Ideally, if I meet someone that's like end game, where we go on a couple dates off camera and stuff, I would continue the series with them.
Oh man, no, but see, that drives me crazy. If you get to 49 and 49's like end game, but you were one away from that 50.
Right.
Your OCD could not stand that.
Couldn't handle it.
Go on that date. So has there been any kind of like reoccurring theme that you have seen with certain types of guys? Can you read now after going out on so many, like in the first 5 minutes, if a guy falls into a specific category, or are they all still unique?
Yeah, I think every guy is unique. I've had different conversations on every first date. I'm doing these scratch-off dates with this book called The Adventure Challenge Couples Edition. So it has all these kind of like crazy, wacky dates. So every date has been totally unique. And every guy, we just had different conversations. It cuts out that kind of boring first date mentality. And it makes every date very unique.
What has been the best date you've been on in Atlanta? Like, I feel like you can get into the rut of going for a walk in Chastain or going to Lady Bird and getting a drink. What is the most fun thing you've done with a guy while you've been dating here?
Okay, so my favorite date, it's not super Atlanta-y, but there's tons of lakes in Atlanta, tons of ponds. Mm-hmm. We had to take an air mattress and we had to go out on a lake and have a picnic on it. So we went out in in Stone Mountain and we floated on this air mattress and ate strawberries and ate smoothies. Yeah.
And it was 40 degrees. We're going to say Lake Lanier and it's like, let's boom.
Right. We'd be
let's
rocking.
See what happens.
Have there been some that you knew in the first couple of minutes? Okay. And how do you determine that? If you're going out on 50 different dates, some are going to be great and you're going to want to be out for 2 hours. And then there are going to be some that you know are not going anywhere. How do you get out of those?
Yeah, so there's definitely been ones that I haven't really connected with. And that's happened.
Oh, that's such a nice way to say it. They sucked. Liberty's being so sweet, PC.
Yeah, but I mean, I haven't connected with some of them. And like, we still go on the full date because I'm like, oh, there's still something. Like, this guy is here. Maybe we can talk about something we both enjoy or learn something or conversate at least. And so, you know, those dates run around 2 hours. We get dinner, we hang out. But some have gone 5-6 hours, yeah. Long dates.
Was there at least one date where you was in the middle of it, like, you know what? This is not what I thought it was going to be. This is a bad idea.
Honestly, not really.
Come on.
I haven't. I straight not up. One. I have not had to bail on a date. Now, before doing this series, 100%. It's kind of weeded out the really bad guys.
And I think it's because of it's mindset. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it really your mindset going into it. Like, you're going into it wanting to learn something, wanting to take something out of the date. So I think that's why you're kind of like you're in it to win it.
Right. 100%. And I'm here and I'm sticking around to meet these guys and connect with these guys. And they're just such good guys. I couldn't walk out in the middle of a date. For
yeah,
sure.
I think that's a really great point. Like, yeah. Rather than dating with, okay, I'm looking for my soulmate, you are dating to have a good experience that day. Mm-hmm. And it takes the pressure off of
yes,
it.
Yes, 100%. It's made dates so much more relaxed, so much more chill, and the pressure is just off.
So with this experience, is there any advice that you've gained that you would give to the women who are out here struggling with dating?
Look straight at Abby.
Abby. Abby, we're going to set you up with someone, man. We'll find you someone. Yeah, I think the biggest thing, and I know I've said this many times, there's good guys out there, and you got to get out there to meet them. Prince Charming's not going to come into your couch, into your house, if you're sitting there, right? And that would be burglary if he went.
That disqualifies him from being Prince Charming.
Right. You got to get out there. You got to meet people. You know, go down in the wild, find people, and just talk and smile and meet them.
I love that you've been so willing to put yourself out there, and I love the fact that you've been out with 40 people and you haven't found the one yet, because I feel like everyone's like, you're so picky, you're so picky. It's like, no, sometimes it takes 50 guys to find the right one. But I also saw that you did something that I have been trying to do here in Atlanta, is you've been going out to those dating parties.
Yes.
Can you talk to me about those experiences and if you felt like that was a good way to meet people?
100%. Yeah, singles events are incredible. I actually hosted a single event last month, and it was awesome, and we had tons of people come to it. And then there's one called In the Wild that Lexi from The Bachelor puts on. It's awesome. It's incredible. And it's a great way to meet people. It's like you're at a bar and everybody's single. You can approach anyone, and it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I'm going on Friday, and I'm like, this
really?
Is my first time.
Is it?
Yeah, I feel like you can just shoot an arrow anywhere, and it's going to land.
Exactly, and that's the best part about them, and it puts all these single people in one place, and you can just really connect and talk to people.
Can you please share your social media handles so people know where to find you so they can go on this journey with you?
Yeah, for sure. It's The Liberty Schultz, and then I also have a podcast called It's a Date.
41 million views already on all of your videos?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's insane. It's wild. It shocked me.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Do you feel more hopeful or less hopeful?
No, I feel less hopeful.
All right, Liberty, thanks for coming in.
Thank you guys.
It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Way better than Emily in Paris. It's Abby in London. All right. We're not going to bother recapping why she was there, the date. It would take too long. So you're going to have to listen to the podcast. All right. So take us from where you left us last segment.
Okay. So I just left off. Me and him are sitting at this pub. We're calling him London Boy. Me and London Boy are sitting at this pub. I'm having a glass of Pinot Noir. He's having a Guinness. And we're both, you know, talking about each other's lives over a plate of fries, or as crisps, as they say in their country. It was funny because he was like, oh, can I get you some crisps? As we're sitting there. And I'm like, which one is that? Is that chips? Is that fries? And I'm like, fries? ? And he goes, no, they're crisps. And then he brought back both chips and fries when he came back. So now we're sitting there and we're talking about just, you know, everything. And I'm really getting to know this guy. And we have really good banter. Like, we're both, what I really like about him is that a lot of the problems I've had with guys is that sometimes I feel like I can walk over them a little bit because I do have kind of an aggressive personality. And so for the fact that he can kind of push back a little bit with me, it was just keeping it fun and interesting. Mm-hmm. I feel like me and him can kind of give each other crap, and it's not like, well, you made a joke in me. And, you know, he's just got this really great masculine energy. He's, you know, walking me through crowds and holding my hand and putting his hand on my lower back and pushing me through the streets of London. And, you know, it's, you know, 10 p.m. in London, and I don't feel like we're going to get mugged because I'm like, who's going to go after this dude?
Yeah.
At one point,
did he bite you by the nape and carry you around that way as though you were a puppy?
No, but that's kind of how it felt.
I do feel like there's something that is, it's such a turn on when you can verbally spar with somebody.
Yes.
And they can give it just as good as they can receive it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And also just getting to kind of turn your brain off as a woman. I feel like, especially as a solo traveler, I feel like this was one of the things that was, you know, so exciting when I was traveling 2 months ago in London is, you know, your brain is on constantly. You're in a foreign country, you're traveling, you're at the airport, you're constantly thinking, and to just kind of feel like, I'm just going to be a girl.
Yeah.
It felt so nice.
And just for him to have the instinct that, okay, she's new to my town, Mm-hmm. I will plan everything. She won't really have to think about it at all. Says a lot about this dude.
100%. So we're sitting at this pub and he goes, okay, there's one more place I want to take you. And I want to take you to the place where we met. It's a cocktail bar called the Little Scarlet Door. And I had loved it when we went there. So I was excited to go back. So again, he grabs me by the hand, walks me over to Little Scarlet Door, and we're sitting at this cocktail bar. Again, just having really great conversation. And he looks at me and he goes, I know you really love to dance. Downstairs, we can go dance. So let's go dance.
This guy dances also?
This man is killing it.
What?
Right now.
So we go downstairs. We're having a good time. We're both, you know, so inebriated at this point. We've talked about everything. So it's kind of nice to just kind of just listen to some Beyonce and dance. And
is he a good dancer?
He was really inebriated at this point. So good okay. is subjective.
But we didn't get the ick.
But we didn't get the ick. I was maybe concerned because I was like, I know this guy's been drinking a lot. I didn't realize how much until this point. But I will say, and I think every single girl can kind of relate to this at some point, but there comes a point where you're always in a crowd and sometimes you notice couples and they get to dance together. And, you know, it's always nice to get to dance with your girls. But this was really fun. And I was like, I get to dance with a boy this time. And, you know, he's indulging me and getting to just be weird and dance to Beyonce. And, you know, Taylor Swift comes on and he's excited for me because he knows I love Taylor Swift. He's like, oh, Taylor Swift. I'm like, I know. And so Love Story comes on and we're both singing to each other.
Love Story came on. Are you kidding me?
And
we're both
happening?
Yeah, we're both just staring at each other. He's like, it's a love story, baby, just say yes. And he's twirling me around and it's just, you know, lovely.
If you tell us that you woke up and this all happened in your dream, I am going to kill you. It sounds like a dream.
It really does.
Let's stick with me here. So we're having a really great time at this bar, but I get to a point where I realize he's not going to go home unless I say we need to go home. It's like 1 a.m. at this point. It's Thursday. I'm like, this guy's got work in the morning. I've been up for now 48 hours. I'm also still nauseous from that Jameson shot I took earlier. I forgot to tell you guys, I spent the first 10 minutes dry heaving in the bathroom because that's how nauseous I was.
No. Did you do that thing where you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, I'm not going to throw up?
Yes.
I'm not going to throw up.
I'm literally staring at myself in the mirror. I'm like, because at first I was like, I need to throw up so I can feel better for the rest of the date. And then it wouldn't come up. So essentially for this whole date, I've been on pins and needles trying not to throw up. And the red wine and chips are just not helping here. So I look at him and I was like, I need to go home. Like, I'm exhausted. I'm nauseous. Hopefully, he had already at this point asked me out again. We had been sitting at a pub. Hang on, I have to burp. Okay.
You're thinking about that Jameson.
It's like coming back up.
All right, let's not let this go by so fast. He has already now asked you out for a second date.
Third. Oh my gosh, there's so many details I've forgotten. I'm sorry.
Keep going. Who cares?
So wait, backtrack before we get to Little Scarlet Door. We're sitting at this other pub that he was so excited to take me to. He's like, I know you love country music. They play country music here. So of course, like, there's Sweet Caroline playing in the background, Wagon Wheel playing in the background. We're at this Irish pub. You know, we're sitting cozied in a corner and he looks at me and he pulls out his phone and he goes, how much do you think flights to Atlanta are?
Because he was going to send you back immediately?
Return to sender.
And he's looking at the airlines. He's like, which one are these are good? He's like, I've never been to the States before, so I don't know what American Airlines are good. And I was like, well, I flew Delta here. And so I'm like, and I'm giving him the rundown.
There's so much goodness going on. He listened to your words that you like country music. He remembered them, brought you to there's all the green flags.
All of them.
All of them.
So, okay, so we're talking about that. And then, you know, we're drinking. And he goes, how long are you here for again? And I tell him the day that I'm leaving. And he goes, and I said, I have plans tomorrow. Because again, I wanted to make sure that I was not making him the nucleus and also making sure that there were other areas of success for me. So I was like, I have plans with friends that I met last time I'm here. So
loving
I can't hang out
energy.
Tomorrow.
Loving the energy.
But I told him, I'm free all day Saturday if you want to hang out. And he goes, because I also told him that I love Mamma Mia. He goes, there's this really fun brunch spot that we can go to on Saturday. All they do is play Mamma Mia and you dance on chairs.
Oh. This dude.
What more can you want?
His attention to detail is impeccable.
It's very
impressive. And so I'm all like giddy because I'm like, yay, now I have plans for Saturday because I left Saturday intentionally open for this reason. So I'm like, thank God. Like, I planned correctly. This is so great. And so, okay, now fast forward, this is the end of the day. We're at Little Scarlet Door. My phone has now died at this point. And I look at him and I was like, I have no idea where I am. I need you to walk me back. He goes, no problem. I'll walk you back. He pulls out Google Maps. I tell him where I'm staying. And, you know, he's ushering me throughout the city and we're chit-chatting and, of course, being very affectionate. And we get back to the hotel, and
you guys are kissing?
No. Just, you know, kind of like holding hands. Okay. I've got his arm, and he's walking me. He's in his little Paddington pea coat. It's very British.
Are you taking your head and nuzzling?
Yes,
a
of course. He's got his arm around me, and one thing I remembered from our first date was he loved to like kiss my forehead and like the top of my head. So I had sprayed a little perfume up there, and he goes, "You smell so good."
Yeah.
Just reeling them in.
And I was like, I know.
He's
like,
not the only one with attention to detail.
Yeah.
He's like, "You smell like Christmas cookies." I'm like, I know.
Wait, what?
It was like a vanilla perfume.
This just became a Lifetime Christmas movie.
Yeah. Small town girl goes to Lent. Anyway, so we're walking back to the hotel. I tell him I'll see him on Saturday, and we part ways, and I go back to my room, and I'm like, can't wait to update these guys on what just happened. I'm now hammered in bed, pulling out my date diaries, and in this moment, this is how I'm feeling.
Okay, this man's literally obsessed with me. Not to brag, but this man wants to take me out on this very specific type of date. I won't reveal what it is, but I'm very intrigued to what's going to go down because he is very excited about it. So I think we're seeing each other on Saturday. So to be continued.
So I end that. I'm so tired because I've now been up for 48 hours. I'm exhausted and tired and drunk. And so all I do is want to fall asleep. So I go to sleep and I wake up to a text from him the next morning that I was not expecting. And I didn't know how to interpret it because it could have meant one of two things. And when I responded, I thought it meant one thing. And then the next day I was like, I think this means something else because of the way he was reacting to that message.
Oh boy.
And I will reveal what that is whenever we do part three.
Okay. Abby!
Wow.
On the Bird Show.
It'll be in like 15 minutes. Well played. I'm dying.
I got to know, man.
Can we just please do it next?
Yes,
no.
Please.
No.
Please.
Nope. We're going to have to do something else next. I got something else planned for you guys and a surprise, not on the schedule. So we got to do the surprise, and then when we're done with that, then we will hear what happens in this third part.
Okay.
This better not go bad. This better not go bad.
Oh, man.
We are rooting for you.
We're all rooting for you.
It's the Bird Show.
The Bird Show.
Let me ask you guys a question. Abby, do you love surprises?
I like good surprises. Like when you had Shmiley Shmeen call in for my birthday.
Yeah.
Good surprise.
Okay.
Whatever I feel like is about to come right here, I don't know if it's a good surprise.
Mo, as a general statement, do you like surprises?
I do not.
You do not?
Nope.
Okay, good, because this one's not for you.
Okay, awesome.
Kristen, as a general rule, do you like surprises?
What's funny is the outside me says yes.
Yes.
But the inside me says no.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk to outside you today.
Okay.
Okay. Cassie.
So the Hollywood Reporter broke this story on Friday, and I have a pop quiz for you guys. So what do Selena Gomez, Jon Stewart, Jelly Roll, Governor Tim Walz, Governor Gretchen Whitmer, and the United Nations all have in common?
I know Selena Gomez does stuff with UNICEF, so she's big in humanitarian work. Okay. So something along those lines.
It's got to be specifically some charity or...
Yeah, they are all finalists for the Anthem Awards, which is the biggest like community-driven impact award that you can get. And so is Kristen Klingsher.
Hey.
Shut
like,
up.
Oh, even Kristen's stunned. She's like, what have I done?
Yeah. What?
Are there like local ones and national
no,
ones?
No, this is the national award. She is a finalist for the Anthem Awards because of her work with Helping Mamas and the Pino Period Party that she did in May.
Well done.
All right.
And if you don't know what the Pino Period Party is...
Show on Q99.7. We are here at our second annual Pino Period Party at the beautiful grounds of Chateau Alain. It's all to benefit Helping Mamas. May is Period Poverty Awareness Month. So we're here collecting period products to make period kits for women and menstruators in need.
Today, you guys have put period kits together for over 50,000.
Over 300 people came out because of Kristen. Over 50,000 products were raised. And you took this event on yourself and planned it yourself. I mean, everything from getting the station and Chateau Alon and the nonprofit Helping Mamas, which if you don't know, they're the Baby Supply Bank of Georgia, all together. And past award winners of the Anthem Awards include Kevin Bacon, Matt Damon, Selma Blair, Misty Copeland. Dang. Big, big names, big organizations like Pepsi Cola. And so I submitted the Pinot Period Party for an award because I thought it was incredible. Yes. Kristen consistently pours her love into the community, and I wanted her to feel the love that she gives to everyone else. I mean, when I think about the number of organizations that you're involved in, I'm talking Cure for Childhood Cancer, Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation, Bert's Big Adventure, of which you're the chairwoman, Helping Mamas, Toys for Tots. I mean, Kate's Club, I think you've done stuff for. I could go on and on and on. I was trying to tally them up last week, and I gave up at like 15. Okay, well, we know. But so I wanted to submit it because also, not just for you, but for all of the Burt Show community members who gave up their afternoon to come out and do something like that for people they didn't even know, I just thought was a really beautiful, shining example of what a community should look like. Huh. And you're one of those leaders, Kristen, who brings people together like that. So you are a finalist. They haven't chosen the gold, silver, bronze winners just yet. But I will tell you guys listening as well, in addition to being a finalist for one of the gold, silver, bronze awards, you can also help make Kristen win a community impact award because those are done by votes. So Rebecca's got it up at theburtshow.com.
Oh my Kristen. God.
You can go and vote for the Pinot Period Party to win the community impact voice award, and then we'll find out the final winners later on in the year. But being nominated as a finalist is a really big deal, and I'm so proud of you.
Give me a second.
Aww.
Thank you.
You do so much good stuff.
No, it's just I know sometimes we can kind of like downplay the stuff we do, and it's not about getting the recognition at all. But it feels really nice to be recognized.
I know, and you've never asked for recognition. You're so humble about it. You do so much stuff we don't even talk about on the show. And I just know your heart is in that beautiful, loving place where you want to do it for other people and not for your own accolades. And I want you to have the accolades.
If you're at a loss for words, I've seen a million award shows and interviews.
Uh-huh.
Thank your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, that's where they all start.
That's where I'm supposed to start. No, seriously, Kaz, like this is, I am speechless, but it means so much. And I think too, just further raising awareness about what these organizations do, I think is really important. And it was, we could feel the energy. It was such a beautiful event, thanks to all the people that showed up. And like you said, dedicated their afternoon to putting these period kits together. And I also think, you know, menstruation can be so taboo and it's something that people don't want to talk about, but it's such a necessity. And it's something that if you have easy access to it, you take for granted. So I think to raise that awareness as well was key. But man, thank you so much. That really, really means so much to me.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to take back what I've said before also, and that's that I don't care about individual awards, you know, best of Atlanta, best of whatever. They don't matter. The only award I really care about is the ratings award. But that's not true. This one is huge.
Yeah.
When you get recognized for doing good and changing the world in a little bit, in just a little bit at a time, maybe not such a little bit, that's an award worth embracing.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations. Yeah,
I feel like if everybody could just try to leave the world, or at least their part of the world, better than the way they found it, I think our humanity would be headed in a better place.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you. Thank you,
Cass. So well deserved. You do so much.
It's all you.
So,
The Burt Show.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.